I'm Jason Buck, and this is Real Visionaries.
Separate hedge funds, separate venture. You saw a lot of the big funds in the space do this, right? Like maybe they started as a hedge fund and then they broke out a venture strategy. And now, not surprisingly, they've grown horizontally. You see liquid strategies, you see venture strategies. Like without mentioning names, everyone's got it, right? Like so we were happy to see that. We were advocates of it. We would put out end of year pieces. We said like, listen, this hybrid middle ground is like not gonna scale. Like as soon as institutions arrive, like you have, you know, you look at a pension, you look at an endowment, like they have someone who covers hedge funds. They have someone who covers private equity and venture. You don't have a lot of this.
Yeah.
Right? So you got to get out of that. You got to start separating that. From our standpoint, it was like build into the into those buckets of institutional capital, build products that will fit into those, right? So we wanted to separate our hedge fund strategies from our venture strategies. And so now, you know, when we look across our, we have four funds, two are open-ended hedge fund structures, super liquid, one-year lock products. Like we want liquidity in those. We're going to stay away from all private stuff, and we're going to put private illiquid stuff in our venture closed-end strategies. Within the liquid bucket, to touch on like how we think about segmentation, yeah, and where that's evolved, we look at four main categories in that. So fundamental, quantitative, market neutral, tactical beta. Those are our overarching kind of four sub-strategies, if you will, in a multi-strat context of how we would look at liquid investments. Fundamental is you're taking some sort of fundamental value research-based approach to selecting the assets. Generally, that won't be Bitcoin or ETH, right? Like, it doesn't really necessarily make sense to pay 2 and 20 to a manager to give you beta exposure. It happened in the early days. People got paid a fair amount to do it. But like now that's not the case, right? So where should fundamental managers be focused? Probably mostly on mid and small cap type risk. If I put my credit hat on, it's like double B and lower, like double B, single B, triple C, right? Riskier, but you know, the yields are higher there, right? So that's really where the fundamental manager should live, is in that deep asset selection. And that's where you'll get alpha in certain periods of time. We saw that even in December, you know, crypto market beta, index beta was down 18 to 20% in December, but you had significant outperformance because you're starting to see the dispersion of returns depending on thematic categories. So like, how do you express that thesis? To me, it's through those fundamental managers on the hedge fund side that you're going to get that body of crypto, if you will, the everything else in that mid and small cap stuff.
But to push back for a second, I'm curious how you think about that. Like you're saying, like, especially if it's like the mid-cap, you know, fundamental or even like are you playing off almost like the beta of like you're saying, like when you shift from like mid-cap coins or altcoins and, you know, from Bitcoin dominance and you have this, they kind of move up and down sometimes or vacillate back and forth. Like how do you carve out what's beta and what's actually a fundamental alpha from that manager?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. We put out a piece like, what is beta?
I was going to get to that. Like, that was such a great white paper. It's such a like salacious title. So
what is beta, so, right?
Is
Bitcoin beta?
Yeah.
I mean, I think we view Bitcoin still as beta. I think it's becoming less beta. We would probably look at something like the BGCI more as beta now because it's a little bit more representative, kind of a top 10 market cap type thing or other indices like it. Like I'm not trying to highlight one thing or another. But that feels like beta. Bitcoin was beta at the time we put that white paper out because its market dominance coming into 2021 was still 70% of the market, right? On a network value basis. Now it's under 40%. Like I think that was our base case, that it would trend lower. I don't know if we would have expected it to be, you know, in the high 30s where it is right now. But if I believe in a multi-coin world with multiple different verticals, multiple different thematic areas, like arguably, like Bitcoin can still win, but will be less of the market dominance from a total network value. We need the whole space to grow, right? Even if Bitcoin were to fully lean into its digital gold thesis, gold is $12 trillion market, Bitcoin moves to $12 trillion. Well, let's hope digital assets are a lot larger than $12 trillion, right? So like, what's that on a percentage basis of where we think this market is going?
But if you think about it like mid-cap, let's just take like a Russell 2000, right? And you're saying, I want a fundamental manager that trades in the Russell 2000, so I'm going to use my Russell 2000 as a benchmark. So what alpha can they produce beyond that?
Yep.
Well, I'm asking actually a very simple question. It's almost like, if it's like mid-cap coins and their fundamental manager, what are you using as the benchmark tracking to see if they are actually producing?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a good point, right? Like, so Bitwise had a lot of indices in the early days, right? Like, they have Bitwise 10, Bitwise 50, Bitwise 100. They since kind of like backed away because it was harder to structure a product around the Bitwise 50 or Bitwise 100. Right. But arguably, like to your point, like if we're maybe 3 years hence from now, because we're just not there yet. Yeah. Like, it's like, we're going there. I know where you're going with that question. Like, you should arguably pay fees on someone outperforming the Bitwise 50 if, like, we're looking at small and mid-cap assets. Because you should be selecting assets outside that benchmark for alpha. Arguably, the alpha is that 50. Because, like, because we're still at a beta of a single asset right now.
Right.
So it's like you can talk beta, alpha, like all day long.
Yeah, we're going alpha, beta, alpha. Yeah, we're
circular at this point in time, right? But it's because we're very early. I mean, that's where we're going. Like, we've had folks come to us and say, like, I only want to pay on alpha. I don't want to pay beta. I only want to pay on alpha. Like, even in a quantitative sense, like, what's your benchmark? We saw some folks benchmark to, like, a 50% Bitcoin, 50% cash in the quant market and say, like, okay, great, Bitcoin was up 50% of the portfolio. It was up XYZ. Like, what's your market neutral return you generated on top of that above and beyond? So you could play a share class that was 50% cash, 50% Bitcoin. You could play a share class that was 100% Bitcoin with market neutral on top. You could play a share class that was 0% Bitcoin and just market neutral return and only pay on the alpha. That's interesting. I think that's where, like, that's the type of stuff we'll get to. We're just not there yet.
Yeah, I was talking to managers last week. It's like they would love to denominate in Bitcoin, and then therefore anything they produce is like alpha over Bitcoin, and you're collateralizing in Bitcoin. But like regulatory-wise, we're just not there yet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because you got to translate that back to a U.S. dollar capital account statement, right. And you're right. Like it's the translation layer is just not there yet.
So I cut you off at fundamental. Like, what was the other way you were thinking about some of the more like liquid?
So the other buckets, quantitative, we call it sort of quant systematic. It's CTA-like strategies, right, in crypto. You're looking at like an 80% up, 40% down type return profile. So, like, you know, mitigate downside risk. Arguably, if you compound over time through cycle, that will outperform. If you look at our quant index from inception, like January 1st, 2018, like it significantly outperformed in obviously a bear market. It was a combination of that quant directional and market neutral type stuff. And then fundamental kind of started zooming in 2021 past it, right? Because it was pretty flatline. But it's sort of some sort of systematic trend following momentum, mean reversion, some sort of algorithmic signaling. Most of that is focused on deep liquidity stuff. So you'll stick to like Bitcoin and ETH or something you have fair market depth in, something you can have multiple exchanges. Some folks have chosen to only go with a regulated exchange and just one API because I trust this pricing source. You're creating a centralized risk to that, right? If that exchange goes down, your strategy goes down. But you're arguably not using offshore unregulated exchanges, which you maybe don't trust pricing. And so, you know, there's trade-offs in
trade-offs
that.
Trade-offs everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the whole space is filled. The world's filled with trade-offs, right?
Yeah.
But that's that quantitative bucket. And we call that quant directional. That's a character foil sort of to the market neutral. And market neutral doesn't necessarily have to be quantitative in nature. It can be. When I talk about market neutral, I think in a crypto sense, it's not I'm gross long, I'm gross short, I'm netting to my market neutral risk. It's not like equity long short. It's true, like true alpha, right? From non-directional things. So that should be low correlation, low beta, low directionality, centralized margin lending, basis trading, DeFi, liquidity provisioning, where you're selling perpetuals to isolate your yield there. Spot arb was the 2017 vintage of that, right? Bitcoin's trading at different prices across a lot of different exchanges. I'm going to buy from this one and sell that one. The moat was that I can get a banking relationship geographically there. That alpha compressed, it degraded over time. Like the biggest question we get in that market neutral category is like, what do you think about alpha degradation over time in that product? Like it's there right now. The returns look great. Is it just going to go away? And I would say, no, it's not going to go away. It's going to shift. So that spot exchange arb is largely been commoditized. The basis trade when coming into 2021 was annualizing at 30-35%. I mean, just buy spot, sell front month CME futures. You traded a ton of futures. I mean, there was opportunities like that because there wasn't a ton of cash in crypto, and there was different market participants that were trading futures and spot. And so, the basis trading has come in a little bit, but now you see funding rate arb stuff on the perpetuals. And to draw the parallel to credit derivatives, in that early market, there was only a five-year tenor, and you had your whole bond curve, right, with multiple maturities, and you had to trade one five-year CDS point against your whole bond curve. And get a term structure of CDS. So ultimately, there became a one-year, two-year, three-year, five-year, seven-year, 10-year tenor there, and then it went quarterly. So the opportunity to think about matching that off against your bond portfolio to the quarterly date, I think this company will go bankrupt, but it's going to go bankrupt between September and December. And that's right?
Yeah.
And then that's the granularity that you got to.
Yeah.
But, and then that was light years after just a five-year tenor.
Yeah.
Is it going to make it? Is it not? Was your bet on that CDS. This was, it's going to make it or it might not make it, but it's going to make it in this three-month period. And if it does, I'm going to kill it.
Hey there, revolutionaries. To join a community sharing insights like the one you've just watched, head over to realvision.com. There you will get unbiased insights and exclusive access to the very best, brightest, and biggest names in finance. Be a part of our community of lifelong learners. See you there.